How is everybody doing today? Episode 70 of the Dental Marketer Podcast. Yay! Guess what, guys? There's another heat wave here in California, so it's getting hot in the studio once again. But it's okay. Let's push on. I'm excited to do these. I love podcasting. I love talking to you guys. The Dental Marketer Tribe, I feel like you guys are family. Or you guys are family. I don't feel it. You guys are my family. So anyways, before we get on to those emotions, let's talk about today's episode. I recorded this episode. There's going to be two interviews in this episode, okay? And it was all recorded at an event that I went to in San Diego called The Business Side of Dentistry, hosted by Dental Practice Solutions. And I recorded a couple keynote speakers. And in this episode, you're going to hear two. So you're going to hear the first 20 minutes of me interviewing the first speaker, or one of the first speakers, and then in the remaining 20 minutes, you're going to hear another interview, right? So I just put them both together because they're both from the same dental practice. And one's an office manager, and one's, I guess, like an assistant or front office assistant manager. And they're sharing they have many years in what they're doing, and as far as, you know, running a successful dental practice. So they're sharing, you know, their tips and tricks on what to do to see more dental practice success. On what to do to see more dental practice success. And they're going to share tips on what to do for better case acceptance, what to do to talk to your patients, what to do to talk to people who are just shopping around, and so much more. They're going to explain a lot with detail. And so I'm excited for you guys to listen. Also, since this was recorded at an event, you're going to hear a lot of background noise. You're going to hear doors closing, people talking, people laughing even. You're going to hear, you know, people walking sometimes. What else? Oh, you're also going to hear us passing the mic back and forth. I apologize for that, guys. I didn't really know it was going to be that much background noise. I thought we were going to be in a separate room, but it's okay. It's okay. You're still going to be able to hear it and understand it. So yeah, that's pretty much it. Also, don't forget, guys, my new consulting services is out. Go check that out. Go to the website, thedentalmarketer.site. And yeah, just go on the website under services and then click on consulting and watch the video and then read a little bit. And then, yeah, book a free 15-minute consultation with me to see what we can work on. That, and also, I'm pretty sure you guys know, but the Monday Morning Marketing has already been live. This Monday that just passed, today's Wednesday, but Monday that just passed, the first episode is out about coffee shops, how to market to coffee shops and the coffee shop employees and things like that, how to get new patients from coffee shops. So anyways, we're not going to talk about that right now. We're talking about this episode. So guys, without further ado, I'm going to introduce the first person. Her name is Denise, and here she is.
Well, I was a stay-at-home mom for 18 years, and I have a family member that's been in the dentistry for 35 years, mm-hmm. and she's had a lot of influence on me, and I've worked in perio, and now I'm with the GP, and I see myself excelling and helping offices grow, my office currently.
How long have you been with your office for?
2.5 years.
Okay, and where is it located?
It's located in Los Angeles, California.
Oh, wow, so it's kind of like a drive, right?
Yeah.
Did you fly or drive here?
I drove, 2 hours.
Wow, really?
5:30 in the morning.
Jeez. But you made it here. That's good. What systems are you using right now that's helping your dental practice succeed?
We brought in Debbie from Dental Practice Solutions, mm-hmm. and she has implemented a lot of systems that we're following, teaching us how to communicate better to one another, communicating better with our hygienists, the doctors, the teams, having a lot of team meetings, talking and strategizing in regards to how we could be better.
And so would you say that's like the one technique, tactic, or strategy you have used or seen increase dental practices profits?
Absolutely.
So, like, what systems, if you can be pretty specific, like, on what systems are you using? What scripts are you saying?
I used the word mush. I used the word mush. There was a patient that had a lot of decay, mm-hmm. and I put it simply to them that, you know, when a doctor touches your tooth is supposed to be hard, but when he uses this special instrument, it sinks in your tooth like mush. And the patient was like, get me on the calendar. I don't want mush in my mouth.
Does mush stand for anything?
Just, you know, mushy, like squishy.
Oh, I thought like M dot U dot.
No, just S. like, yeah, like kind of squishy, you know? I even used mold. Well, I said it grows like mold. Yeah, I mean, those words worked really well. And it's just communicating the handoff. When the hygienist is done seeing her patient, she walks the patient up and talks about what was done that day, what needs to be done, why it needs to be done, when it needs to be done, and the communication, and just relaying to the patient from the hygienist, then passed on to the doctor, passed on to the assistant, and then reiterated a fourth time by me is really helping get it into the patient's head that, you know, they need to have treatment. And the acceptance rate is much greater. And some of the words that we're using as well, mush being one of them, and they're getting it and they're scheduling.
So consistency is what kind of is important here, is what you're saying, like as far as repeating it, right?
Correct. Consistency.
Okay. And before that, like when did you start seeing a major difference when you started doing this consistency, like repeating it? The four people were pretty much repeating it, right?
Well, again, we've been working with Debbie for 3 months. So in the last 3 months, our practice has seen great growth, amazing growth. Cool. By repetitiveness. I mean, it's really helping out.
And has it just been through hygiene that you've been getting more collections in production?
Absolutely, yeah. Our collections are up in the 3 months that we've been working with Debbie. Our collections are up, I would say this month is going to be about $40,000 greater from 3 months ago.
In awe because you're using the word mush?
Well,
Wow, okay, yeah. What other systems are you guys like implementing right now as far as the front office? Like what can, say for example, I have listeners, right, who are having a hard time with case acceptance. What can they do?
Well, in case acceptance, I sit down eye to eye with the patient and I am very observant and very in tune with their body language, their facial expressions. I talk to them about the treatment, give them their financial options, which is really, really important, to let them know all of their options and that, you know, I'm here to work with you to get the treatment that you need done as quickly as possible. And again, a lot of it is being in tune with their body language, the words that they're using. It's really important also to not be afraid to speak about money. If you are afraid to speak about money, the patients will feel that. And it makes them uncomfortable, and you have to be very
firm.
Yes, thank you.
Gosh,
yeah, not necessarily even firm, just confident in yourself and explaining the treatment, showing them the X-ray, showing them the pictures.
Who should be speaking about money? Should it be the doctor or just the front office or everybody?
No, I think one person should be designated to speaking money. Doctors should never ever speak money with the patient. It needs to be the treatment coordinator. I myself am the office administrator as well as treatment coordinator. So I am the only one that speaks money with the patient and or I have my other front office lady, Monica. She also will speak if I'm not able to. And her and I are on the same page on everything, on how we do it, so that we're on the, she knows what to say. And
what do you tell people who are shopping around? Like, you know, there's shoppers and things like that. So what do you tell them if they're just like, okay, I just want to see what it is, or okay, that's what it is, okay, thank you, and then that's it? Like, they don't tell you if that's too much or they don't tell you if that's too little. They just say thank you and leave. Like, what, how can you read them better, or how can you kind of close that case?
Dealing with someone who's shopping around can be rather hard to close a case. I myself have implemented in my office, I will just ask them if, are you shopping around? After, you know, listening to what they're saying, if they say, well, I just want I just want the fees. I want a piece of paper with the fees. Mm-hmm. I will then ask, are you shopping around? Have you been to another doctor? And if they say yes, you know, I know they're shopping around, even if they didn't say they were shopping around. That can be kind of difficult to close. A lot of times, well, all times, if they want the treatment plan, mm-hmm. I will say, sure, I'll give you a copy of the treatment plan, but I have a little box on there that I can take the fees off. I never let them leave my office with a treatment plan with our fees, because they can go anywhere else, and then that doctor or that office can say we'll beat the price. So mm-hmm. never ever let them walk out with a treatment plan with the fees on it. I take the fees off, and then I'll take like a little post-it note and write like option one, the fee, option two, the fee, and then the total at the bottom, because they don't know who actually put that sticky note on there and those fees. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that's a good tip for anybody.
Mm-hmm. And do you ever get anybody kind of complaining that why aren't the fees showing up?
I have had that happen. Mm-hmm. And I will be honest with them. I'll say, well, you know, our policy is not to let our fees out of the office. However, I'll be more than happy to, you know, I did give you a sticky note, or I can verbally tell you. Mm-hmm. But I let them know it's our policy not to have fees released out of the office.
So if you can be specific and like give us a script on what you tell shoppers.
What I tell shoppers. Well, I'll just reiterate the treatment that's needed. Mm-hmm. I will, you know, after I ask, or if they say they're shopping around, I'll treat it like anybody else, because there's a chance that they still can be our patient and yeah. want to be with us. So it's really, really important mm-hmm. to make sure that you get them to trust you, show that you're confident, mm-hmm. that this is a good practice. Look at your reviews. You know, I'll say, you know, whatever the doctor's name is, mm-hmm. you know, look at their reviews. You can see the great reviews online. He's very good. I'll talk about their schooling, mm-hmm. their background. I'll even show them pictures, before and after pictures.
Is that how you get them to trust you, or what do you do besides the reviews and pictures?
Well, I think it's just how you speak to a patient when you're sitting down face to face with them. I think it's, I mean, they chose you for a reason. Mm-hmm. So they're coming to you for a reason, so you just have to make sure you build on that and make sure that you ask them, let them know, you know, do you have any questions, any concerns? Feel free to call me anytime. Here's my number. Mm-hmm. My name is, you know, make it very personable.
Yeah. What do you think someone should do if one of their front office is not confident?
I think that they need to let the patient know that, you know, I'm going to have, you know, Denise give you a call. I don't think they should be talking if they're not confident. They need to say, you know, our treatment coordinator is not here today, or she's busy with another patient. I'm going to have her give you a call. Or I will even ask them to set up a consultation. Mm-hmm. Set up a consultation for me, bring them back, and then I will sit down with them and go over all of their treatment plan, x-rays, pictures, models.
And so what is one strategy, idea, or technique you would never do again, and why?
Treatment coordinate somebody really quickly. Like, all of a sudden, if they want fees for a large treatment plan, it's really, really difficult, because, and I'm sure it's happened to every one of us, you may not have been able to check something on insurance and then find out later that it's not covered. Mm-hmm. And you don't ever want to come off to a patient as you don't know what you're doing. So don't ever treatment coordinate anybody, at least for extensive treatment plans, super quickly. Take your time, sit with the doctor, go over it, piece by piece by piece, to make sure it's the perfect treatment plan for that patient and that all aspects, insurance and so forth, are mm-hmm. taken care of.
So what's a good time frame? Like, say the new patient gets his exam and x-rays done, and then the treatment is going to be presented. Like, what? How long should all that take?
Depending on our schedule and their schedule, we can do it as quickly as the next morning. Let's say they came in today, I could have them in tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock with me. or based, like I said, on their schedule.
Do you think people should kind of like, say, for example, they do the exam and x-ray, it takes 30 minutes, and they try and treatment coordinate that same time?
If it's something simple and they're coming in for some, like a limited exam because they're having pain on the upper right area, mm-hmm. and they need to have something done and we have time in the schedule, absolutely, you know, I'll have them sit in the chair, and if I need to call the insurance company to check something specific, I will do so.
Like an hour? Would an hour be a good amount of time?
For x-ray and exam?
For the treatment coordinating.
Oh, well, if it's something simple, if it's one item, no, it can take, you know, a few minutes. Mm-hmm. You know, I go in and I talk to them about what needs to be done, why it needs to be done, and that, you know, we can go ahead and take care of this today, and your insurance covers X and your copay portion is X, and then we could, you know, squeeze them in if we need to. So I mean, it could vary anywhere from 10-15 minutes to like a larger treatment plan. Then I would bring them back and I would just work on it with the doctor. It could take me a good hour to get it in order and make sure it's, you know, make sure my T's are crossed and my I's are dotted, because when you're presenting it to the patient, mm-hmm. it needs to be final.
How do you present it to the patient?
Well, I bring them in, I sit them down with me, I go over with them what the doctor had spoke to them about. I utilize x-rays, the intraoral camera pictures. I reiterate what the doctor has said to them. And then I start talking about, you know, depending on their schedule, their finances, we can do it over a period of, you know, a week. Mm-hmm. We could do it over a period of 9 months, depending if they need implants. And I let them know every step of the way, this is where we'll be here, this is where we'll be here, this is where we'll be here. I also let them know that their time is valuable. Mm-hmm. And I also say to them, I'll say to my patients, you're the boss, your time is valuable to me. What works for you, we will accommodate you. It's really important to let them know that it's customer service.
Yeah.
You know, it's sure, it's the health industry, but it's also customer service.
Mm-hmm. How has Debbie, or Dental Practice Solution, how has that helped you?
Oh my. Again, our collections now are, for this month, we're looking, she's been with us for 3 months, we're looking at 40,000 more than we were 3 months ago. It's just the communication. Mm-hmm. She's taught everyone in the office how to communicate with one another. There are the different systems that she's put in place that have helped that. Constantly having our huddles, our, you know,
just morning huddles.
Yeah, we have morning huddles. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Every single morning, vital to your practice. Everybody needs to be on the same page. Everybody needs to participate. Mm-hmm. And some of the systems that Debbie has put in place is where everybody has to participate. Everybody has to talk about different things, and it all comes together as one. And it's just, it's really, really helped with communication. Everybody's on the same page now.
Last question. What is the best piece of advice you have ever received that can help my listeners simplify, accelerate, or completely change their practice in a positive way?
Communication. You have to communicate. It's just, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You need to listen. You need to observe body language. Always keep a smile on your face no matter what.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And do you mean communication with the patient or communication with the team members?
Everyone. Communication with everyone.
Body language. Explain that a little bit more. Body language with the patient. What can you read with their body language?
Well, I mean, if you're talking about, you know, after I present my treatment plan and then I explain what the fees are, I'll just kind of sit back and watch them, and I'll say, what are your thoughts? And, you know, you can tell if someone says, oh, yeah, I'm gung-ho, yeah, let's get started right away. Or there's the, I don't know, you know, they hesitate. Mm-hmm. And so then I just ask more questions of them, you know, like, you know, what's keeping you from moving forward? And then at that point they'll say finances or time or something of that nature. Mm-hmm. And then that's when I just
say something else.
Yeah, I'll talk about those specific things.
So when they mention that finances is their issue, because that's like 95% of people's issue. Mm-hmm. What do you say back?
Well, I let them know that we offer a financial option in our office. We use a specific lender, and I let them know that all they have to do is fill out an application, and it only takes about 2 minutes of my time, and I can do it on the internet, and let them know if they qualify. And at that point, then, you know, that is a huge relief to them. And this, sometimes that's the difference between them moving forward and not moving forward, because you do get patients to say, I have no money and I have bad credit. It's not going to happen. And, you know, unfortunately, sometimes that's the difference between moving forward and not moving forward. So, I mean, but if they qualify, then we get them started. And then once, let's say they have more extensive treatment that needs to be done, but they're only allowed a certain credit limit. Well, after they pay on that for a few months, we can always ask for a credit increase as well, and then move forward with any other pending treatment.
What else would you want to let other treatment coordinators know as far as how they can increase, I guess, case acceptance, or how the dentist can just increase overall production and collection besides communication?
The treatment coordinators need to be very positive, or not, they need to be very
personality.
They just need confident. They need to be very confident about speaking about money. They also need to present and speak, you know, that executive image. I mean, if some people wear scrubs, that's fine. Some people, you know, depending on how your office is. I mean, you could be in a suit. Mm-hmm. So you just need to present that executive image. You have to have confidence in yourself in speaking about money and about treatment. Eye contact. Don't look away. It's about eye contact. Mm-hmm. That's a really good communication skill. Mm-hmm. It's just speaking that executive image. You know, you want whoever is doing that to be very confident. Again, confidence. Yeah, they have to have confidence.
So the key points that you want everybody to take away with is communication.
Communication.
Right? With the team, and communication with the patient, right?
Correct.
As open as possible.
Yes.
Right. Do you think it's good for the whole team to know all the numbers as far as what's the goal for collections, what's the goal for production, and so forth?
Yes, I do. Because everybody plays a vital role as a team. We are a team. So if a patient's sitting in the chair waiting for treatment, it's really, really important while the assistant's in that room setting up to speak to them, oh, you know, Mr. Smith, you have some pending treatment here. Remember, you've got a lot of reoccurring decay. I mean, they need to know, if they know where the number is and where we need to be by the end of the day to reach our goal, every bit helps from everybody. So if they have that in our morning huddles, we do go over our numbers. Everybody knows where we're at, where our daily goal is, our monthly goal, if we're under, if we're over, and, you know, and then give them that confidence. Come on, guys, let's do this. We can do this, you know. If we have time on the schedule or an appointment change, and somebody needs a couple fillings or a crown, and we can get them in, well, we'll do everything to do that.
Alrighty, Denise, thank you so much for being with us today. It was a pleasure. But before we say goodbye, tell us where it is we can find you.
We are in Los Angeles, California, next to LAX Airport. Yeah, we are Vuitton Dental Group, and we are at the corner of Sepulveda Boulevard and Manchester. Website is VuittonDentalGroup@gmail.com. And Vuitton is spelled V as in Victor, A as in Apple, T as in Tom, A as in Apple, N as in Nancy, dentalgroup@gmail.com.
Alrighty, Denise, thank you so much for being with us. It was a pleasure, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much.
Okay, that was the first part of this episode with Denise. The next part is going to be Monica, and she has a lot to share with you as well. She's going to speak a little bit more on her background as well. And yeah, guys, so let's listen up. Stay tuned. Don't forget also about my consulting services. I'm just going to slip that in here right quick. Go on my website, thedentalmarketer.site. That's .site. And go to services, click on consulting, and book a free 15-minute consultation. Actually, if you want, I'm gonna put that on everything. Just book a free 15-minute consultation with me if you want to either talk about ground marketing coaching, which I have done since from the beginning. That's what I'm mainly known for, or consulting, marketing consulting. So just book a free 15-minute consultation with me, and we could talk about what we need to do to start seeing new patients come in immediately for you, okay? Anyways, with that being said, let's hear Monica, and let's hear a little bit about her past, present, and future, and exactly what she is doing to contribute to the success of her dental practice. All right, it's time to talk with our featured guest, Monica Medina. Monica, how are you doing today?
I am doing well, thank you. I thought it would be sunnier, but it's a little bit cloudy and overcast in San Diego.
I know, it is super cloudy. Like, it's weird because they're having like heat waves everywhere. Is it hot in Los Angeles?
It's very hot. Humid at night.
Humid?
Yes, humid at night.
Oh, okay, I'm from a small town in Rancho Cucamonga. It's hot, but it's not really that humid because it's like in the mountains.
Oh, you're in the rich area.
It's not a rich area. Anyways, okay. Monica, why don't you tell us a little bit about your past, present, and future, and how you got to where you are today?
Okay, well, you guys already know my name. My name is Monica. I've been in the dental field for about 13 years. I started right out of high school. So it's been my first job. I've never worked in another industry or another job. It's always been the dental field. Actually, let me back up a little bit. Let me tell you my story. So I was brought to the States when I was 5. Mm-hmm. Originally from Mexico. I was brought to the States at 5. School, family, that's always been important to us, what my parents always taught us. School is always like your second home. So it's always respect, you know, and things mm-hmm. like that. Elementary, junior high, high school, everything was good. After high school, upon graduating, I got accepted to some universities, but I was like, should I go? Am I gonna, you know, do I really know what I wanna do? Mm-hmm. So I actually went to community college, which wasn't a bad thing. I started with business. After the first year, I thought, hey, this is not for me. I started looking at all the numbers, and I was like, I don't think I could do this all the time. So that was 1 year that I did of business. The rest, I was working actually towards my hygiene degree. Oh. Yeah, so I took a lot of science classes and everything. I ended up graduating, not as in hygiene department, but I did end up graduating with the AA. Mm-hmm. And before that, right after high school, like I said, I applied to a job because I wanted to work and go to school, mm-hmm. like any ambitious young teenager. It just said, looking for somebody in a dental office willing to train the right person. Yeah. So I went in, I got hired.
Where was that?
It was in Gardena, California.
No, Craigslist or...?
Newspaper actually.
Oh,
it was a newspaper back in the day. A newspaper.
Dang.
Yes. So I applied. I got hired, and they trained me to do from the front desk, which is answering phone calls, customer care, and the doctor. You know, it was just two of us working in the dental office, and the doctor said, "Hey, are you interested in learning the back, which is assisting instruments, procedures, everything?" I said, "Sure." To me, I wanted to be like a sponge, the more the better,
yeah. mm-hmm.
get to know everything. So he taught me how to do the back office, we call, assisting him, you know, all that stuff, mm-hmm. which I loved. I fell in love with the dental field, especially because we have that connection with patients. Even though it's dental, you still have a standard of healthcare that you have to keep. And I think that's, I love seeing people when, you know, even you change one tooth and they're like, oh my God, I love it. You know, just that thing that you're helping them, you're getting them out of pain. And some even just, you know, they do a whole smile makeover and they love it. So it's just that relationship with the patient of, and also taking care of them. Like I said, a lot of people think the dental field's not so much of healthcare, but it is.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to get that point across that we care for them. We want to take care of their dental health. So I started working in that. I started learning the back. And from there, I transferred to another office, which I was also doing the back, the front. So I kind of learned how to do everything from start to finish, from the back to the front. So, which at that time, it helped me a lot. It has helped me a lot nowadays because right now I can bill an insurance and I can go back and take an x-ray. So I'm kind of, you know, thankful that I learned both. How to do everything in the dental office. I love the dental field.
Yeah, okay. So why did you not pursue hygiene anymore?
I did not pursue hygiene. I totally put my education in the back burner. After I kept, you know, working in the dental field, I put it in the back burner. And I was I'm still very comfortable with doing all the front stuff, all the billing, taking care of patients. So that's where I'm at right now. I work with a wonderful person called Denise. She's an office manager, and we work in the same practice, so we kind of tag team everything. You know, you have this, I have this. You can't do it, I'll do it, I'll help you. Because it's all about a team effort, and I think that's very important. For a dental practice, everybody has to be on the same page. Mm-hmm. There has to be consistency. That's kind of the key word, consistency, because you can implement something and then just fall through the cracks. So it's all about the consistency of a team effort. And that's what I like about working in the office that I'm at right now. I like working with the people that I work with. I get along with pretty much everybody. And I think that's something that has helped us a lot. Mm-hmm. We did get rid of the bad apple that was in the team. We had a bad apple, yes.
How do you know they were a bad apple? What were they doing?
Well, it was just a negative attitude. You know, just negative. You would tell the person to do something and they didn't want to do it. They didn't want to be on the same page as everybody. So I think we didn't, you know, any office, you don't have time for that because you have to work as a team. Mm-hmm. And we got rid of the bad apple and now we're growing.
How do you get rid of a bad apple?
How do you get rid of a bad apple? Well, I didn't get rid of that bad apple. I didn't do the dirty work. But, you know, you just got to let them know. Either you're on the same page or you got to go, man. Okay. It's as easy as that.
What is one technique, tactic, strategy, or procedure that you have used or seen increase dental practices' profits?
I think the main thing, a lot of your production is going to come from the hygiene department. The hygienist, you know, has a very important role, almost as big of a role as a dentist, because even though she's only what people call cleaning teeth, she has that one-to-one connection with the patient. We actually, the dentist that I'm working with right now, he bought the practice from another doctor that retired. She had medical issues. The hygienist had been there for 15 years and she's still with us. And a lot of the patients stayed in the practice, a lot of the old patients, because the hygienist was still there.
Really?
Yes. So that's one key thing why we say the hygienist is as important as a role than a dentist. So those patients are still there. They keep coming back and they've been there with her for over 15 years now.
Do you think like a hygienist should have a pitch or like a sales funnel, or how can they improve a dental practice success? Like, what systems are you using right now?
Well, we don't say pitch or sales funnel because we're not a sales car salon, but we do have strategies.
Okay.
We have to strategize things. Yes. It's not like, oh, here's your cleaning, and you get this package, and but if you pay right now, you get the upgrade. No. So
car salesman.
Yes. And a lot of offices do work like that. You know, they diagnose the same thing on every patient, which I think it's pretty bad because not everybody is the same. Mm-hmm. But I think one technique is getting to know the patient, connecting with the patient, letting them know what they have. Letting them know, hey, this is what we have. Don't get scared because we're going to help you. You know, we're going to help you get through this and we're going to fix it. So, yes. So, because a lot of patients, when you start talking to them and they understand, but then they see the number of how much they have to pay. And that's, you're scaring them off.
Yeah, that's true. Right.
So they don't care what you've told them. They just look at the number. So you have to create also a value in what you're going to do for them.
How do you create a value in what you're going to do for them?
Remember I said strategy. So that strategy is keywords. You have to use keywords. You have to talk in, you know, like not dental terms, because the patient does not know what, you know, they're like, oh, you need SRPs. They don't know what SRPs is. Yeah, usually they call it deep cleanings, you know, gum surgery, anything like that. So that's why I say, you know, you have to be strategic on how you tell it to them. And it comes usually, It comes from the hygienist. If they have any periodontal problem, if, you know, they have gingivitis, anything like that, and we have to create a package that's going to help you and it's going to be a benefit to you. And it's the relationship that we're going to have long term. You know, you can't just come in, get the cleaning done, and we don't see you in 5 years. And because a lot of patients and a lot of their success, once they leave the office, is the aftercare. It's 80% it's in their hands, 20% we do in the office. So if you get the treatment done and you go home and you don't follow anything, then you're going to be back to step one.
So how do you get patients to actually start doing something about the 80%?
Well, when they're in the office, we have to let them know exactly what they have to do. They have to follow it, and we see the results. If they come back in 3 months and it's still not working, we have to be like, hey, you know, because a lot of patients don't understand that let's say if they have active infection going on in their mouth, that's running through the whole body. Mm-hmm. You know, your saliva, medically, that's all correlated. So we have to let them understand and teach them that dental health is very important too. Mm-hmm. That's what a lot of patients have trouble with, because we can talk to them about their treatment, but as soon as they leave our office, they can go to Costco and buy a big screen. And that's no problem, yeah, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's no problem. And they love that big screen. Mm-hmm. So that's the value that we want patients to have. We want them to say, hey, this is my healthcare and I need to take care of this. I mean, I'm not saying, hey, you're going to pay everything up front, but we'll work with you because we want to benefit you and we want this to work.
And so what keywords have you seen, like, change everything in the scripts?
Keywords I'm talking about, you have active infection going on, not you just have gum infection. Mm-hmm. You know, you have because it's active.
Yeah,
it's active. You know, it's like I said, it's going through your body, your saliva, your bloodstream. It's going to your heart. It's, you know, it's bad to say, but it is. And if you, a lot of people know they have medical problems, diabetes, high blood pressure, all that is affecting your dental health too. People that take too much medication, you know, we're seeing that either they're having a lot of medical issues, that definitely contributes to their dental health. So we want to get that point across because, like I said, we're in the healthcare industry, so we have to take care of our patients. Mm-hmm. So I think words like active, if you have a tooth that has a fracture, show them pictures. A lot of people are visual. They want to see what they have. And, you know, you just tell them, instead of you have a cavity, you know, you can just tell them you have a fracture here, you have a recurrent decay, you know, and then we tell them also what fillings are, how does it benefit them, the old silver fillings, how they don't work, you know, over time. So a lot of the keywords are just having the patient understand what they need, and that's how you create the value of it.
And so what is one strategy, idea, or technique you would never do again, and why?
It wasn't so much of a strategy, but I definitely would not work with a dishonest dentist. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot that are out there that are dishonest. Like I said, there's a lot that, you know, just diagnose the same thing on every patient. So you kind of like, hey, there's a trend here.
Give us a story.
Okay, so I used to work with this dentist maybe 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. And every patient needed the deep cleanings, even though they had a healthy mouth. Every patient needed deep cleanings. Every patient needed braces. Yes, every patient needed braces. And we had a lot of patients that were coming from the same company. So they kind of started noticing, hey, everybody has braces from the same company. You know, something's going on. So that's something dishonest that I don't think I will ever do again. I could only take so much of it. After a while, you just don't want to be not even associated with that. So I think the dishonesty is something that I will not.
As far as case acceptance, what is something you would never do there again and why? Like, what is something you've tried in the past and maybe you thought it would have worked or it kind of didn't really work and now you would never recommend it?
Same dentist, as a matter of fact. Same dentist. Now I'm seeing the car salesman. She would give you a package. Yeah, give you a package minus what your insurance covered and then give you monthly payments. But you will be paying for 4, 5, 6 years and you're stuck with that. Yes. And it was treatment that you actually didn't need.
Really?
Yes. So, I mean, she was making the money, and but sometimes patients wouldn't pay monthly. You know, she was kind of just using the insurance. So I think that strategy of putting everything into a big treatment plan and give you payments, it doesn't work.
So do you think, how should they kind of present the treatment plan then, like a treatment coordinator?
Always make sure patients understand what's going on, and we tell them, you could do whatever you want right now. You know, basically the ball is on your court, and give them some, you know, just let them be free to choose what they want to do. I know there's priorities on what needs to be done, but there's patients that they cannot afford everything, you know? So we tell them, you tell us what you want to do. This is a priority. This is what doctor recommends. But you tell us how you want to move forward with it. If you want to do one thing at a time, that's perfect. If you want to do everything, that's great. But we kind of give them that freedom to say, hey, we don't push too much. You know, we give them that freedom of whatever you want to start with. Mm-hmm. And then they kind of, you know, they're like, hey, this is not like other places where I have to do it. They feel pressured. No, because we also bring them back for a consultation. If it's something that goes over a certain amount of treatment, hey, let's bring you back. I want to take the time to show you what you need.
How has Dental Practice Solutions helped your office?
Debbie has helped our office. She's been with our team for about 4 months already, and we've seen an increase in patient acceptance. We've seen an increase in collections. We've seen an increase, well, I wouldn't call it increase, but we've seen a change in our team. So everybody kind of knows what's going on everywhere. It's not like, oh, I don't know what's going on. Or, you know, if you ask an assistant, sometimes they're like, oh, I don't know, I wasn't there. Mm-hmm. But everybody knows because we have team meetings. So we have team meetings of what's going to go on the rest of the day, what we need to target, and who's going to do what. So I think that works really good. And everybody works towards the same goals. So Debbie has really implemented that over the past few months. Like I said, she's been with us for almost 4 months, and it has worked out great.
What's one system you think was not life-changing, but like it changed your dental practice culture or success that Debbie implemented?
Debbie is all about team, 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 team. So it's team effort. And it's like a domino effect. If somebody doesn't do something, then it triggers a domino effect. It goes towards the same person, towards the next person. So I think that has helped our office tremendously, the team, team, teamwork. Because, you know, it's not like some offices, the back office doesn't know the numbers. You can't let them know how much we're doing. Or no. Everybody knows what's going on. Everybody knows the target for the day. Everybody knows the target of the month. Mm-hmm. You know, and if we go over that, this is what bonuses we're getting. So everybody works towards that.
Yeah.
Because they have something to look forward to. Everybody wants a massage, you know. Everybody wants something, that happy hour.
Yeah,
you know, because that we're right now. That, you know, if we make certain, or if we make more than, let's say, 40 new patients a month, we get a bonus.
Yeah, that's great. You know?
So everybody works towards the same thing, and everybody's included. You're not less than me, and I'm not more than you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And what are you guys doing right now to get new patients?
Our main target is referrals through people that have been in the office. So, I mean, marketing is a great thing, but it's more of internal.
Yeah.
Yes, internal marketing. We want patients to do those Yelp reviews. And we want those patients to know, hey, this is a 5-star. We have 5 stars,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people that you ask go, hey, how did you hear about us? Oh, I went through Yelp. You guys have great reviews.
Yeah.
So that's something that we want to keep. And internal, like I said, internal marketing, you know, your friend could tell you, hey, what dentist do you go to? I need a new dentist. Oh, this is this great dentist. You know, I had all my veneers done. Or we want that from patients to actually, you know, refer to us because they've been there and they bring their family. We want to treat them like family. We want people to feel comfortable with us.
Mm-hmm. Do you give them incentives when they refer?
We do give incentives. We have our care to share, what we call care to share. So let's say if you came in as a new patient and you're, hey, you want to bring your wife. Once you refer that person, you get a $50 credit on your account for any treatment that you need. So it's $50. Mm-hmm. And that person gets a $100 gift card. So they also, any treatment that they need, they have $100 off. And we have a lot of people who keep referring and they keep doing their treatment because those $50 add up. Mm-hmm. And that's what we want. We want people to, you know, feel that we care for them. And that's one of our main priorities.
What is the best piece of advice you have ever received that can help my listeners simplify, accelerate, or completely change their practice in a positive way?
The best piece of advice that has been given to me?
Yeah.
Well, let me think. The best piece of advice, just stay true to what you do. And anytime that you walk into your work area or work, you know, always walk in with a smile. Don't let things, I know personal things can affect you a lot. You know, your marriage, your financial situation, how you put your kids through school. But once you walk in that door, you have a smile on. You forget about everything else. Mm-hmm. So I think that's one of the priorities that we also have in the office. We want people to not come in and deal with attitudes, because that's also one of the first things that people leave a practice, because they don't like the front office. Yeah. You give them attitude. And they threw the paperwork at them. You know, so people don't want to deal with that.
Yeah.
Honestly, people don't want to deal with that. So we want to be as cheerful as we can. Not fake.
Yeah.
You know, but we truly care for our patients. We want that connection. So I think a good piece of advice is once you walk in that door, leave everything behind.
And so we're in the business side of dentistry event. What are you learning so far here?
So far, I've learned that I need a retirement plan. yes, so far they've talked in the morning about, you know, what are you going to do when retirement comes? A lot of people don't think about that, and I'm in my 30s, so I'm like, I should have think about it. I should be thinking about it. You know, I have kids now, so why not? Mm-hmm. So I think that's an important thing. I'm actually going to look into it after today. And I'm hoping to get some new tips that we can introduce to patients. And just to make everything easier.
Alrighty, Monica, thank you so much for being with us. It was a pleasure, and we'll hear from you soon.
Thank you.
Alright, that was episode 70 of the Dental Marketer Podcast. I hope you enjoyed it, Denise and Monica. I hope you guys got a lot of information. I like how Denise mentions communication is important. I also like, how Monica mentions specific keywords like active. You have active disease happening in you. Like, I know if I heard that, if I was the patient and I heard that, I'd say, whoa, how do we deactivate this disease? Or, you know, what should we do to not make this happen? So a lot of the times, maybe it's just the keywords we're not using when we're presenting these cases or diagnosing that we could be using to alert the patient and have them take action. So I like this episode. I hope you guys liked it too. Like I said, I recorded in the Business Side of Dentistry event. Thank you, Debbie, for having me at the Business Side of Dentistry event. Guys, be there next year. It's a great, amazing, great event. I'm teaching you about the business side of dentistry. Also, sorry about the background noises. I'll work on that for the next events that I'm going to as well. Guys, last quick thing, don't forget to check out the consulting page like I mentioned in between the episodes and at the beginning of the episodes. Just go on my website, thedentalmarketer.site, and click on services, then click on consulting and watch the video and book a free 15-minute consultation, and we can talk about what we can do to start attracting new patients immediately right now. So guys, thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to follow me on all the social medias. Facebook and Instagram is The Dental Marketer, and Twitter is TDM Tweeting. Go check out episode 1 of Monday Morning Marketing on the Dental Marketer Podcast if you have not. And let's do that tactic today, guys. Let's do it as soon as possible so you can start seeing new patients come in immediately. Okay, that's enough of that. Guys, thank you so much for listening, and I'll talk to you soon.